Today's Food for the Journey will be a classic reflection of today's readings.
Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today, we're going to look ahead to the fifth Sunday in Ordinary Time and the readings for the fifth Sunday. But I also want to say that this Sunday is the World Day for Consecrated Life. And the Church asks that we all pray that the Lord will bless and strengthen all men and women in the Church who live the vocation of consecration. I want to say something about that. We give ourselves to the Lord by our vows. We give ourselves to the Lord through a heart that loves His people and that desires to give our whole lives to serve those people with whom we come in contact, those people that we're called to serve. That's our primary orientation, to bring them Jesus, to care for the poor and the sick and the blind and the lame and the aged, the suffering. We're called to reach out with God's love and with God's power and to dedicate our whole lives to do that. But the ultimate reason we live this life is to be for all people a sign of the life to come. That's what we're here for, is to be a sign to everyone of the life to come. That what I say to you about there is an eternal life, and we are going there, and we have to get our sights set on that life. I'm living out, in a sense, all of us can do it, but I have a particular call to be a sign of that life to you, to show you that this is not where we're going to be for all eternity, and that there really is a God who loves you, and a God who created you, a God who saved you, a God who wants to have you with Him, in union with Him for all eternity. And part of my call, my life, is to be a sign, a signpost to you that there is a life to come. Pray for consecrated men and women, that we may be more and more what we are called to be, so that those of you in the world and called to care for the temporal order of the world, those of you in the world may receive hope and encouragement and help and strength from us, whose call is to be a sign of that life to come. Pray for religious, that we may be what God created us to be. Today, we take a look at the first reading for this Sunday, which is from Job chapter 7, verses 1 to 4 and 6 to 7. Job spoke, saying, "Is not man's life on earth a drudgery? Are not his days those of hirelings? He's a slave who longs for the shade, a hireling who waits for his wages. So I have been assigned months of misery, and troubled nights have been allotted to me. If in bed I say, 'When shall I arise?' then the night drags on. I'm filled with restlessness until the dawn. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. They come to an end without hope. Remember that my life is like the wind. I shall not see happiness again." Job is certainly declaring what a lot of people feel like. Things don't go our way. And we try to follow the Lord, and they don't seem to get any better. Doesn't seem to matter whether I follow God or not. Things just are bad, and they get worse, and I don't even think there is a life to come. Job went through that. And a lot of us go through a time like that. Don't stay there. Don't stay there. With the night comes tears and difficulty and pain, yes. But with the dawn, rejoicing. We will come through it if we follow Him. Doesn't matter whether life is going well or life is not going well. Our call is to follow Him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, because He promises us, and He is true to His promises. He promises us an eternal life. An eternal life. The responsorial psalm says in Psalm 147, "Praise the Lord who heals the brokenhearted." That's how Job felt. Everything went wrong. Everything that could go wrong for Job went wrong. And Job was a wreck. And we understand that. We know that. But brothers and sisters can't stay there, because the truth is God heals the brokenhearted. He healed Job. He healed Job. And he will heal us. Don't reject God. Don't take your anger out on God. Ask God to help you. Ask him to help you to carry the wounds and the anger and the pain and the suffering. And he will. Don't reject your one source of help. He does heal the brokenhearted. He binds up their wounds. He's the one who tells the number of the stars. He names each star in the heavens. We don't even know the billions of stars. We know a number. We know more than we ever knew. We don't even begin to know them all, but Jesus has named them all. And if God has that kind of authority, the scriptures tell us he heals the brokenhearted. He will heal you. It's getting close enough to him so he can. Letter of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 9, verses 16 to 19, 22 and 23. 1 Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, if I preach the gospel, this is no reason for me to boast, for an obligation has been imposed on me, and woe to me if I do not preach it. If I do so willingly, I have a recompense, but if unwillingly, then I have been entrusted with the stewardship. In other words, even if I'm not willing, I need to, because I'm a steward of God's graces. He gave them to me at baptism, and I will have to render an account. I need to exercise my stewardship. What then is my recompense? That when I preach, I offer the gospel free of charge, so as not to make full use of my right in the gospel. Although I am free in regard to all, I have made myself a slave to all, so as to win over as many as possible. In other words, he's willing to serve. He's willing to bring, as we talked about yesterday, he's willing to bring God's love to everyone, no matter how they respond or react. He brings God's love to all. That's his call. That's what he's doing. I've made myself a slave to all. I do it willingly. God is worth it. To the weak, I became weak to win over the weak. I have become all things to all to save at least some. All this I do for the sake of the gospel, so that I too may have a share in it. If God has given us gifts and graces, brothers and sisters, we can't let them lie idle. Look, take an inventory. What are my gifts? What has God given me in my human nature? What has God given me that are gifts? What am I doing with them? How am I using them to advance the kingdom? If I care for the poor, I'm advancing the kingdom. If I care for elderly, I'm advancing the kingdom. If I teach, I'm advancing the kingdom. If I build something for someone who is in need, if I acquire goods that others need, I am advancing the kingdom. If I'm doing it for him, through him, with him, if I'm doing it for my own honor and glory, there is no recompense afterwards. I've gotten what I deserve. But if I do it for him, if I become, as Paul says, a slave to God's will, I'm a servant of God. I'm not my own. I was bought with a price. I belong to God. I don't belong to myself. I'm not the owner of my life. And the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 29 to 39. And again, I want to encourage you, please look online at renewalministries.net. You can find all kinds of things there. But I especially want to emphasize something I've been speaking about this week, a book entitled The Gospel of Mark. It's a Catholic commentary on sacred scripture. It's written by Dr. Mary Healy, H-E-A-L-Y, Dr. Mary Healy. It is a marvelous book. It is very accessible. I encourage you, because you're going to hear from the Gospel of Mark a lot this year. So I want to encourage you, go on our website, renewalministries.net. Let's take a look at the Gospel of Mark now. As I said, chapter 1, verses 29 to 39. On leaving the synagogue, Jesus entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Simon's mother-in-law lay sick with a fever. They immediately told him about her. He approached, grasped her hand, and helped her up. Then the fever left her, and she waited on them. Now, if you read this Catholic commentary, you're going to learn a lot of things that perhaps you don't know. For example, in just this section, it says, after the synagogue service, Jesus enters the house of Simon and Andrew. Archaeologists have unearthed the probable remains of this house near the synagogue in Capernaum. The house consists of a cluster of small rooms built of basalt rock, surrounding an open courtyard that was probably shared by the extended family. Now that the disciples have committed themselves to share the life and destiny of Jesus, he enters their home and takes interest in the intimate concerns of their family life. Simon's wife is not mentioned here, but she later accompanies him on his missionary journeys. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 5. Her mother is bedridden by fever, which at the time was often caused by malaria and could be life-threatening. The severity of the illness is shown by the woman's inability to carry out the demands of hospitality for her honored guest. That hospitality is a huge issue in the Middle East. And they believed that that was what you did. You were most hospitable. You really cared for them. And this woman can't get out of bed, which indicates how serious her illness is. The disciples demonstrate the Christian response to troubles. They immediately tell Jesus about it, even without knowing what he is going to do. And Jesus' healings involve his physical contact. He grasped her hand and he helped her up. And look what her response is. She realizes she's cured, and what does she do? Not sit around and tell everybody how awful it was and how marvelous she is now. No, she gets up and waits on them. She serves. Read this Catholic commentary by Dr. Mary Healy, The Gospel of Mark. It will help you. And then there's a second section to this gospel. Rising very early before dawn, he left and went off to a deserted place where he prayed. Simon and those who were with him pursued him, and on finding him said, "Everyone is looking for you." He goes off to pray. He told them, "Let us go on to the nearby villages that I may preach there also. For this purpose have I come." So he went into their synagogues, preaching and driving out demons through the whole of Galilee. Jesus is the servant. He's the one to teach us what it means to serve. The reason that I have come into this world is to be a son or daughter of God, to help others come to know him, love him, and serve him. That's my call in life. No matter what my vocation, no matter what my background, that's the primary call of my life, to love God with my whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to help others to love him. Is that how I live my life? Is that the orientation of my life? Jesus wants to do so much more, brothers and sisters, through us, if we would yield ourselves to him. But we set our own agenda and we do this little thing for the Lord or that little thing for the Lord. But primarily we're doing what we think we ought to be doing. Ask God to set your agenda. Ask him to show you how he wants to use you to bring his love to many. May God lead you and bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.